One thing that I wanted to clarify was what part of the work is for everybody and what part isn't. The 8-day intensive, this is actually for everybody. As long as they have a sound body and mind, then this is something that everybody in the world can benefit from, no matter what walk of life they're in. Your mother, your father, even your grandmother, brothers, sisters. Really, if it's just a question of openness on their part, even if they're holding a belief system that they don't want to let go of, for instance, whatever, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, they can still come and, as you did, open up and receive so much. In fact, we've actually had, like one girl specifically came because she wanted a greater connection to Jesus. She's a firm believer in Christianity and had no intentions of changing from that, and came with that intention of just deepening her connection to Jesus, which she did. So this 8-day intensive really is for just practically, like I say, as long as the body is sound and the mind is sound, this is for everybody. This is something that anybody can be invited to. It has a beginning, it has an end. But the follow-up program, on the other hand, is not for everybody. The 8-day intensive is an opening. It is a connection to God. It is an opening up to a lot of things that you were never aware of before, or perhaps only a little aware. But the follow-up program is designed with the specific goal of breaking free in this lifetime. Breaking free from the cycle of birth and death, although I know many of you don't think in those terms, is something that is rarely achieved in this world. Very rare indeed. Perhaps in a generation on this whole earth of 5 billion people, perhaps 100 people at the most break free in a whole generation. That's all the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims, everyone, the devout Christians, everyone. It's so very difficult to break free from this place. It is, in fact, the hardest thing that you can do. But it is also the greatest thing that you can accomplish. What is going on here is a process to freedom that is going to break thousands of people free. Something that has never been done before on this earth. Something that has been impossible on this earth. But even though it is possible to do this, whereas for the majority of you in the past it would have been impossible, even though it is possible, it is still going to be very hard. It is still going to be very difficult. And there is just no way around that. There is nothing that can be done about the difficulty of the work. The work itself is going to be hard. So this is why there is constant attention and working on the area of support. Because while the work can't really be made any easier, the support from those around you can be greater and greater. So this is why it is so critical that everyone supports each other to the greatest capacity that they have. So you are endeavoring to do something that is very difficult. You are trying to break free from all of the things that bind you. And there are, of course, many things that bind you. But what you have to understand is it's not just a struggle against something within you, just your emotional difficulties, just your hang-ups, whatever you want to call them. When you make a stand in the light that you are going to break free from this place of illusion, the darkness itself, the illusion itself, begins to work on you. It really is the classic good against evil struggle. You are trying to achieve the greatest good, which is becoming one with God. And the greatest evil is totally against that connection to God. The darkness does not want you to have that connection. The illusion does not want you to have that connection. It wants you to fail. It wants you to give up. And the illusion practically has an endless bag of tricks to do just that. A million ways to divert you. So how practically is the illusion going to do that? How specifically is it going to work on you to separate you from this? The illusion is working right now on a number of people. To try to get them away from this work. Because the illusion knows if you continue with this work, you will get free. If you keep going with this work, you will get free. So it is the job of the illusion to do whatever it can to get you separated from it. So how can it do that? After the connections you've had and after all you've known, how is it going to get you to do that? How is it going to get you to turn away? The illusion is so tricky. It knows, perhaps with some, that it can't just do a frontal attack and get you to leave immediately, although that works with many. So it just does an immediate number on them. I mean, you hear the talk about judgments, concepts, and beliefs. These are the things that stop you. But most of you don't understand deeply enough how these do stop you. You need to come up with a judgment against this in order to leave, practically speaking. You need to make the work itself wrong if you're going to get away from it. You need to find fault with it. You need to make it wrong. Then you can step away from it and go, yeah, see, the work, it's a bad thing. It's actually a bad thing. So, of course, it's only natural that I would want to get away from it. Now, for some people, the illusion is a very easy task. They go through the intensive, and the first judgment comes up and they're gone. The first judgment, this can't be real because of whatever the reason. This can't be real because there's too much sex involved, and sex, after all, it can't be part of God. It's too much sex. Something is wrong with this, that there's this sexual energy going on. That's a judgment. So there's something going on now which is a little bit, which is spreading and has affected a number of people. And that, again, is another way to make the work wrong, to say that there is, in fact, something wrong with the work. And this talk has spread quite a bit. And basically, it's something to the effect that the work is too harsh. It's too abusive. It doesn't need to be like it is. It could be easier. It should be easier. There is something wrong with the way it is. It is so heavy. It is so intense. It feels abusive. It feels harsh. It should be another way. Therefore, there is something wrong with it because it isn't another way. And once this conclusion is reached, which a number of people are jumping on this bandwagon, then the next logical thing is, if the work is in fact bad and abusive and too harsh and unnecessarily so, then there's good reason for me not to continue the work. There is very good reason for not continuing. And temporarily, at least, a number of people have come to this conclusion. And then they've talked amongst themselves and have, like, formed a consensus that it is, in fact, bad, and therefore we have a legitimate complaint here. So I want to make this very clear. Breaking free is one of the hardest things to do. And this is a path to total freedom, and it is very hard. And there is nothing wrong with the work. There is nothing wrong with what is going on here. It is just as it was meant to be. And when discussing with a group of people who were feeling this way, the bottom line was, basically, that they were getting tired of feeling bad. They've done it for a few months or whatever. It couldn't be too long because we've only been doing this a little over a year. But they were tired of feeling bad. That when they walked into the meditation room, that bad feelings would start to happen. That it would make them feel bad, and they no longer were attracted to that. It really came down to that issue finally when all was said and done. That was the bottom line of this complaint that the work is too harsh, is of course that it makes them feel bad and they no longer want to feel this. They no longer want to feel bad. They no longer want to face what is necessary for them to face. So they've created doubt in their own mind. Now, what's important about this talk isn't to criticize these people, because they're going through another type of struggle one way or another. And I'll talk more about the fact that it is going to be different for everybody. It's not going to be exactly the same for everyone. But what's important about this is it's a live, current example of how the illusion is working. How is the illusion working in this case? Is by taking these people away a step at a time. First, coming up with a judgment that the work, in fact, is too harsh. Feeding that doubt, constantly feeding that doubt, and not only feeding it to themselves, but then feeding it to others around them until others are actually persuaded and also are starting to agree with this until there's a consensus formed. And when you have a group of people supporting you, it just reaffirms your belief. It just confirms what you're feeling. That there is, in fact, something wrong with the work. At which point, you're in a very dangerous position because you are standing in a judgment which is not true, because there is nothing wrong with the work. The work is difficult, and it is necessarily so in the ways that it is difficult. while it's important to scrutinize what you're getting involved in and be careful so you're not just blindly acting in life, there does come a point in spiritual life where you need to throw up your hands and just trust. You've looked at it long enough and you are certain enough that it is right, because doubts are always there in the mind. And just go ahead with some trust. There is no such thing as too much trust and faith. If you've listened to my trust and faith tapes, it just goes on and on about this very point. Trust and faith are the way to the end. It is through trust and faith that you do get free. Ultimately, you're going to have to trust. It's not just about trusting this process. It's about trusting God that He would allow this process to go on in a way, as a path of freedom, and trusting the process itself. And people can say, yes, but there's a so-called path of freedom that didn't get me there. It didn't get me free. So then what? Then I don't trust. Then I do not have the trust in faith. So for some who have been through surrendering their existence to God, there's old issues, there's old wounds that need to be healed, that it makes it extra difficult perhaps for them. But still, at some point in your existence, you are going to have to find complete trust and faith in a process to get free from this place. You are going to have to find that, if that is your goal, to get free. And of course, the opposite of trust and faith are the endless doubts. And ultimately, doubts are one thing. Doubts are something that are always there in the mind. You need to know that. No matter what happens, the doubts in the mind, it's just like is a constant plague, a constant radio plane that you really can't turn off, and really has nothing to do, in many cases, with the reality of what is happening. People are having ecstatic spiritual experiences, perhaps visions, whatever. And even while having it, the mind is going, is this real? Am I making this up? Or maybe if not while it's happening, just after it happened, was that real? Was I making it up? Or what was that? Was it a hallucination? Was it whatever, a trick of the mind? Even while it's happening, powerful spiritual experiences, the nature of the mind is doubt. Doubt is one thing. Doubts are there and just have to be in many cases, just ignored, like so many ramblings of the mind. The doubts, you can't pay close attention to them. The difference between doubt and judgment is, like I say, what is going on now is that people are coming to a conclusion which they believe to be correct. It's not a doubt anymore. It to them has become a fact, a solid judgment. And as we've talked, you've heard it a million times if you've been around, how the judgments stop you. So, of course, how much is this judgment stopping those that are holding this judgment to be true? It has become like a fact to them. And others that they've talked to, it's not quite a judgment yet, it's not quite a fact, but it's definitely put in a doubt. And that doubt can grow into a judgment and become also a fact in their mind. And this way it spreads. And this is how the darkness is working. Because what is the end result of this? Is it's a step away, a step away, a step away. At first it was just a doubt. Then it grew into this final conclusion, which is like a fact now. And that is now full justification and actual seemingly good reason to leave the work. Because now there's a fact at hand that there is something wrong with the work. Now there's a good reason to leave. And this is what the illusion wants you to do. The illusion wants you to leave. The illusion wants you to give up. For whatever reason. This is just one example. And I'm talking about this one example because it's going on right now and there's a number of people that are involved. What was so significant about the 8-day intensive? What is it about that that's so significant? It's getting you, for perhaps the first time in your life, to face all the uncomfortable, and sometimes much more than uncomfortable, feelings that are inside of you. Just things that are inside of you, but very, very uncomfortable things. Things that through all the mechanisms of the mind you were avoiding your entire life, the mechanism of denial. The mechanism of repression. So repressed that for many people, the 8-day intensive brings up memories which were totally forgotten, had totally been blanked out. And were brought up. And how did it feel? Why did you repress them in the first place? Because it was like too much to deal with. So it's a natural defense mechanism of the mind when it can't deal with something that it pushes it away. It's forgotten about. So you can go on. So what feels bad you face during the 8-day intensive? And by feeling those things, by going into those things, what was the end result? What was the end result of that? How did it turn, what kind of states did it turn into for you? The universal one is a feeling of love that people captured. A love for themselves and a love for each other. And of course, different degrees of this happened according to the degree that someone let go at the time. Some people lost in ecstasy. Some people with incredible visions and spiritual experiences. For everybody, a beginning. Because for someone who wants to leave in this lifetime, it is just a beginning. So in the same way that the intensive is a mechanism to get you to go in and feel some things that feel very bad, so the continuing work is also like that. And there's a lot more to go. And the people that are separating themselves from this work, they had one bottom line that they all spoke to me, and that is, we're tired of it feeling bad. It doesn't feel good. All of the complaints came down to that. It just doesn't feel good. But look at the 8-day intensive. If you had that attitude in the 8-day intensive, how far would you have gotten? I don't want to do this because it doesn't feel good. And of course, we have people leave all the time in the seminar who can't do it. We have people who leave at the beginning of the 8-day intensive. Not that many, but we have every month, we have 2 or 3 people. They get to a point and they go, I'm not going to feel this. I'm not going to. I'm just not going to. And there's no talking about it. I'm out of here. This is it. So in the same way, as you continue the work, you're going to hit different layers of things, and naturally, you're not going to want to do it. You're not going to. There's going to be a part of you which is naturally going to be reluctant to face the things. And I'm speaking today to those of you that have had the courage to continue, because it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of trust. And to have come as far as you have has taken a lot of courage and trust. The illusion wants you to give up. It wants you to give up. You have to remember that. It wants you to fail. It wants you to stop. It wants you to give up. And just as some people can't even make it through the 8-day intensive, you all are here because you had the courage to do that. There's a number of people who haven't had that much courage. They couldn't make it through. It was too much for them to face. So there's also layers that you're going to hit, which is going to be hard to face. And as you feel these things, there's a, how many times have you felt the desire to leave, to get away from this? And that's only natural, that these feelings are going to come up, that the doubts are going to come up, that, of course, naturally you're going to want to get away at times. That's one thing. But when you allow your doubts to turn into judgments, when you start coming to conclusions about this and making this wrong, you just have to know that these are the danger signs. For those that you want, that want to continue all the way to the end, you have to see these danger signs. Finding fault with what's going on. The organization is completely open to feedback, to any criticisms that you have. Everything is open. This has been made open. I've talked to a number of people about this. If you haven't heard about it, I have a box out there, and anything that you feel is wrong in the mission, there is room for change. So it's not like there is a locked-in dictatorship going on here, that there's just no room for anything to move, and it's just going to have to stay exactly like it is forever. Of course, there's going to be evolving that takes place. But one thing you have to understand is, no matter how much the evolving around the work continues, there's going to be one thing that's always going to stay the same, and that is bad feelings inside of you are always going to feel bad, and there is just no way around that. If you're going into a memory of being traumatized when you're a child, there's no way to go in and relive that experience and be happy about it. There's no way to go in and feel good about it. You're going to have to go in and feel the trauma of it, which is going to be a bad feeling. There is just no way that you can go in and not have it feel bad. So there's so many other bad feelings that are going on. The ultimate bad feeling is that you somehow or other have been separated from God and put in this place. That is a reality. You have been separated from the Lord and have been put here. And it is such a place of separation that some people don't even believe in God when there is nothing else but God. And somehow or other, you have ended up in this situation, separate from God. And of course, that separation from God is going on in different degrees in all of you, depending on how much you have connected, how much you've reconnected to God. But isn't it interesting how you're facing these things that you've been avoiding your whole life has caused you to have a greater connection to God? And how having run away from these things your whole life, it lessened your connection to God. Now here we come to the part where people need to take different paths sometimes. Everyone isn't going to do exactly the same thing to get free in this lifetime. There's two ways that you can not be fully engaged in the work, let's say the work meaning the structured work, coming to meditation, that type of thing. One way is you can get away from it by being in a judgment against it and feeling you have to do that. And another one is not judging against it and accepting the work completely and just understanding that you need to perhaps to do it a little differently. And they are entirely two different things, because when you make a judgment against this, because you feel a need to get away, then you are closing a door for yourself. You are closing the door. This door is always open for anybody to come back, but what's going on is people are closing the door on their side and making it hard for themselves to come back because they're judging against the work. They're saying that it's a bad thing. Just be honest with yourself. Very difficult thing for human beings to do, to be fully honest with yourself and just admit that it is in fact your problem. It is something you don't want to face. Or at least you don't want to face it right now, or to the degree that you're being forced to face it or asked to face it when you come into the workshop. Yeah, you may have to stand up in front of the group, and then your number is going to be up. And maybe you're not ready to have your number up. Maybe you're going to need to take it a little slower at this point in your life. And, you know, that's fine. But what's not fine is what you do to yourself when you have to make the work wrong to stay away from it, when you have to find something bad about it. Because that really interrupts the flow for you. Perhaps someone needs to stay away for a few months, but when they stay away for a few months in a state of judgment, that few months drags on and on and on and makes it very hard to come back. But when you leave in an honest state, that this is just something that I want to do, but I'm not quite ready, or I want to take it in smaller doses or whatever, then it's open much more, and you can flow in and out of the work. You can come as you need the work, as you want the work, as you are able to deal with the work. Because one of the most important principles of succeeding on this path, which is a difficult path, is that you keep going. You've all seen, you know, we have signs made up, keep going. What does that mean? It means you never give up. And that's going to mean, in order to do that, that you're going to have to pace yourself. And that means sometimes you may have to back away a little from the work, or you may have to do it in another way, and that's all right. The key is that you keep going, that you do not stop, that you are honest with yourself, that you are continuing the work. Or you know what? If you're not continuing work, that you're honest with yourself about that. I'm going to take a break now. I'm not going to think about this anymore for 2 months or whatever. I'm taking a complete break. I'm not going to face anything within, and I'm just going to party for 2 months. But at the end of 2 months, then I'm going to go back into it again because I need a complete break from this. And do that. But be honest with yourself. And you see the difference for you if you do it like that? I'm going to be honest with myself, and I just don't want to do it right now. That's all. I just don't want to do it, and I want to smoke, and I want to have a couple of drinks, and whatever. And I'm just going to do that, and that's fine. But then I'm going to go back into the work. How different that is than drumming up something against the mission and everything, which creates more doubt and slows your progress spiritually. In other words, owning up to the fact that it is your problem that's going on. Because everybody, the tendency is to blame. To blame whatever is going on in your life for the reason you're unhappy. And what goes on, which is going on to quite an extent right now, is because you're around the mission, naturally, who's to blame for your problems? It's the mission. I am unhappy because of the mission. I am disturbed because of the mission or something. It's the mission's fault, or it's this fault of this work that I'm unhappy. Before you did this work, who did you blame for your unhappiness? Was it your wife, your husband, your job, whatever? You were blaming something else for the reasons you're unhappy. So owning up to your unhappiness, that is it? In fact, maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's something to do with you. And of course, ultimately, it is all to do with you. So this is another important area. Don't feed into this blame. I am unhappy because of this. If it wasn't for this, I would be happy. I would not be unhappy. So now here's another thing. Perhaps you don't want to break free in this lifetime, which, or to put it another way, it would be nice, but you really don't want to pay the price. Then that's another thing. Then you need to be honest about that with yourself. Because you see, what this work really is about, it's not about being happy in this lifetime. It's not focused on that. The happiness will come. Ecstatic states will come. But it's a byproduct. It's not the focus. If really what you're trying to do is just to have some joy and some happiness in this lifetime, this isn't the best way to go. It really isn't. I mean, this is, you know, the New Age is as big as it is because they've latched on to some things that you might say equate into more happiness in the world. Of course, from an ultimate spiritual platform, that happiness is an illusion. But anyway, if you're going to stay here, that's the state you want to be in. There are things better geared to a happier state. Just like the denial mechanism, make it stronger, like a muscle. Just like the New Age, just think positive things and never think negative things. Play positive affirmation tapes and never ever think about negativity. Never speak negatively, never think negatively, never act negatively. Just keep it all very positive. And it has an effect, which is why it's so popular. It'll definitely get you into a state, or possibly into a state where at least you will think you're happy. Which, if you think you're happy, what's the difference after all? That's the idea, at least. So anyway, you can see some New Age people, and they have a very big smile on their face, but they're crying in their eyes. They're pain in their eyes, but they're smiling a lot. So they think they're happy. And anyway, if you're going to stay here, you might as well think that. Maybe it's just too harsh of reality to face this work, which is a very harsh reality. The reality that there is really no happiness in this world, that the happiness comes only from a connection with God or from a connection with the illusion that you think you're happy. That this is in fact basically a place of suffering. And if you were to list every single little suffering that you had from the time of birth, how many books would it fill? Breaking a finger, breaking a bone, the disease, every single cold, every night up sleepless in pain, every heartache, every emotional trauma, so many. But that's a hard thing to look at. That's a hard thing to face. And it's understandable if you don't want to do that. But this work is about doing just that. It's about facing things that you don't want to face. It's about facing the things that are very hard to face. What this work is ultimately about is really doing anything to get free. That you are willing to do anything. That you are willing to go through anything. And the people that are backing away now aren't so sure if they are anymore. If there's no alternative, if the work is going to have to be like it is, they're not certain if they in fact want to continue. Maybe it's just too much. But you see, for someone who wants to break free in this lifetime, they will never, ever settle for less than this truth. So my challenge is this. If you aren't going to do this, then go out and find another way that you can break free in this lifetime. Because most people, they say this isn't it, but when you see what they're doing as an alternative, it's very clear that they are not going to break free in what they've chosen as an alternative. That what they are doing isn't something that's going to break them free. Don't fool yourself into thinking you can get free on your own. It has never been done and it never will be done. Now, when I say never, when I say things like that, there are exceptions, but they are so tiny. But the egotistical people will hear that there's exceptions and they'll think, I'm one of them. That's me. I'm the exception. I can do it on my own. I can get free on my own. I don't need guidance. I have my own guidance. I can direct myself and I can get free. Practically impossible. The ways to freedom has always been a master or a teacher. It's always been that way. Without that guidance, it's impossible to break free. So if you are serious about breaking free and you don't want to do this, then you had better find somebody. Do not think you can do it on your own, because that is the illusion. Yes, you can do it on your own. You're going to be fine. This is what the illusion would like you to believe. Yes, you are fully capable. You've got the picture now. You've got enough internal intuition going on and knowledge. You can do it on your own. You can just take it from here and you will get free. That's what the illusion would like you to believe, and it's a lie. The illusion has many lies it will tell you to get you to deviate from this path. A common thing that goes on, again, in the New Age movement is the whole issue of freedom. And there are people that are preaching that if you believe you are bound, then you're bound. But if you believe you're free, then you're free. It's just a question of how you believe. And they believe this. So, of course, what do they choose? Well, let's see. Which am I? Oh, okay, I'm free. That's what I'm choosing. I'm going to be free. So I'm free. Now I'm free. So I hear people, I don't need this because I'm already free. I'm free. I believe it. Therefore, it's true. While being imprisoned in the most complicated, insidious prison imaginable, this material world, to make statements like this, the absurdity of this. Someone as a prisoner in the Jewish concentration camp, standing in the middle of the compound going, if I think I'm free, I'm free. If I don't think I'm free, then I'm not. So I'm just going to think I'm free. And standing there in the middle of the compound, surrounded by barbed wire and guns, about to be killed any day, thinking, I am free. It is actually even more absurd than that, because that prisoner in the Nazi concentration camp has more chance of getting out than someone trapped in this world. So it's even more absurd than that. But how absurd that would be if a man stood in the middle of that compound and said, I believe I'm free, therefore I am. What would everyone around him think? They would go, this man is insane. This is insanity. And a lot of people believe like this. This is like a common trend in the New Age movement, to believe you are free and therefore you are. When you are in one of the most insidious prisons that has ever existed, with wires and ammunition that you can't even see, which makes it so insidious. You don't even know where or when you're being trapped. So try to be honest with yourself on the path. Try to be honest. It's going to be difficult. You need to pace yourself. You need what you need to do to keep going. That is the critical thing, that you keep going. So if it really is becoming too much for you at times, then do what you have to do to keep going. But be honest with yourself that it is your problem. Don't fall into this trap of blame. Don't fall into this trap of judgment. There is nothing going on here but love and light and help and support. And will it become better? Yes, it will become better. There will be better support. And how will that be? It will be that each and every one of you become more filled with love and light and are able to support others more. That's how it will become better and easier, because you'll have more support, because those around you won't be wallowing in their problems so much that they'll be able to give and support those around them more. When I come back, then we'll start the questions.
Gurasana, I find myself in this paradox situation that here I'm doing everything to get free, and then the closer I come, the more fear I have that this actually happens. It's right now even I am afraid to feel my longing, because that just to feel that longing brings up so much fear. And it's the fear I don't really know what the other shore is like.
The other shore. Mm-hmm. Well, what's important about that question is that it illustrates what comes up for people. And what is it ultimately that's coming up? Is it's fear. It's the feeling of fear itself. And people naturally run away from fear. And that's why that statement is there. Don't let the fear stop you. Don't let it stop you. Because it is stopping people all of the time. Because the reasons that people are stopping the work, when it really comes down to it, it is some kind of fear. It is some type of fear that is at the bottom of it. And they are letting the fear stop them. What it takes to continue this work is to be able to tolerate any feeling that comes up at all, and they will all come up. Sorrow, anger, and of course fear. And even a stronger word for fear is terror, and even that can come up. So what this is about, in order to continue, you have to be courageous. You have to brace yourself for the fact that these things are going to come up and be able to deal with no matter what comes up. no matter what feelings do come up, you're willing to feel them and face them, no matter what it is. It is a battle against the darkness, and in that battle, it is like an unknown battle, and you don't know what is going to come at you, and you don't know when it is going to come. So like a soldier going into battle, you have to be prepared that things are going to come, and sometimes, as you have experienced, they come very fast. Sometimes very fast and very hard. And you have to have the courage and the strength to keep going and to do whatever it is that you need to do to keep going. And of course, that's, you know, there's help. That's why the counselors are there. Somebody to talk to who's been through this battle. I mean, however much faith you have in the Corps that has been doing this work for a while, one thing you can know about them is that they've been through a lot of the battle. So if nothing else, they can tell you from experience, because there's probably not many things you're going to be going through that they didn't go through. So anyway, taking the help when you need it. But yes, everything is going to have to be faced. So whatever feelings it brings up, you're going to have to face those feelings and feel those feelings. And that includes, of course, the one that everybody would like to avoid is fear. See, there's like a natural instinct in the brain that if it feels bad, it is bad. So there's like a natural repulsion that goes on that you have to overcome. And you can only overcome it with trust. You can only overcome it with faith. Just as you've all are here only because of what you've experienced, that you know to whatever degree your consciousness is at, that it is God that is happening somehow or other. Even though it is not how you conceived God to be, or how it would be, certainly on a path to God.
Nice to see you. I found your house. I don't know if you remember. I'm Lynn. It's nice to see you. I just went through this last intensive. After resisting the work, it seemed like I was pulled into it. And it was an amazing experience. I feel like I went into it very open. And the connection I got was very real. It's, you know, I feel like God is in my body. It's an amazing feeling. And I've stayed close to the work for the 2 weeks. And I'm at the point of deciding whether to stay in the follow-up program. And my problem feels like a weird one. It feels like, you know, the connection, when I want to connect and go deeper, it's just there for the asking. And although I have pain, I won't say I don't have pain, I don't seem to go through a lot. When I look around, there's people that seem like they're going through horror, and I just don't seem to have to go through that, and I'm making myself wrong. Mm-hmm. Wondering, you know, that whole thing about denial, how do you know if you're in denial, or how do I know if I'm there? So I was wondering what you could say about that.
Mm. Yes. It's very important that you don't judge yourself. Judging, again, meaning that you come to a conclusion that you're definitely bad. That doesn't mean you can't continue to explore the possibility that you do need to do more and create more desire and create more longing and go deeper. That doesn't mean that. Judgments, again, are something that grind you to a halt. Judgments are something that stop you. It's a conclusion that you come to. Difference between a conclusion and what I'm saying is a conclusion is you are definitely wrong because you're not moving like that. An open way of dealing with the same situation is that, well, they're obviously feeling something I'm not feeling, and perhaps there is something in me that needs to go deeper. And maybe I do need desire, and just look and reevaluate your own spiritual growth and what you do need to do. And again, this is an area that a counselor can help you with, talking to someone who has been through similar points themselves. Um, And this is an important point for everybody. And although I know it's been talked about, I know a lot of people really aren't getting it about movement, about what it is that's going to happen to you. There's generally, you could say, one kind of movement that's being encouraged in the meditations, for instance. There is one type of thing that we're trying to get people to, and that, of course, is where there's some crying, there's some releasing, there's some movement like that. And it's important, if you find yourself coming into the meditation room and that particular type of movement isn't working for you or isn't what you need to do at the moment, then you need to trust where you are at and basically go deeper into a state of longing. There's one underlying principle that is going to be there in no matter what the work is that you are doing or you feel you need to do, and that is you need to constantly have a desire. You need to enter into a state of longing, where you are longing for completion, where you are longing for wholeness, where you are longing for healing. And these things, you can't really separate these things, and a constant state of prayer for the truth and for God. Now, where someone may feel that there's something wrong with the work, or they may judge it as wrong, is 90% of the room or 95% of the room is working in one way, and you basically feel that you just want to sit there and move in a silent way. And someone may come around and yell at you or something or say something to you that, you know, go deeper or whatever. If you are truly deep enough, then this type of thing that happens, this is one of the complaints, is sometimes the people like running the meditations bother people who feel that they're already in a proper space. If you're deep enough, then this really shouldn't bother you. It's a little complicated because some people are just sitting in denial and are avoiding feeling their feelings. But sitting in a silent way, in a state of prayer, with longing and desire going on, is moving you. It's one important thing to remember about spiritual practice. Any effort that you are making is resulting in a direct benefit. There is nothing that you do that does not give you a direct benefit. So if you come into the meditation room and for 2 hours you come and you don't feel any emotion, you don't cry, you don't have any anger or anything, but you're trying the whole time, and trying means you're making an effort. You want something, which is why you're there in the first place. You are, in fact, moving. And if what you need to do is come to a place where you need to cry more or release more something, then that will happen in time. But it's important that you don't judge against yourself or judge against others. And again, we have to talk about judgment. Judgment, again, is coming to a definite conclusion that there is, in fact, something wrong, but there can still be questioning. You can still look. Maybe there is something wrong. Maybe there is something I need to do. And or when looking at another person that you are judging against, questioning, again, is all right. Judgment is like a final conclusion, that you are making the person definitely bad because of something they are doing. And this is something that needs to be a little freer in the meditation room, but again, this is up to individuals in the room, and that is to give a little more space to people who are moving in another way. And also to give yourself the space to move in another way. And the other important part of the question is you're deciding whether to continue or not. Well, this is a major undertaking. This is a very heavyweight group. It's not lightweight at all. It's not easy at all. It is the hardest thing to do. And it won't necessarily result in any immediate happiness on this plane. Not necessarily. In fact, things could get worse. And if you do continue, it is going to be difficult. So you need to, you just need to decide whatever. And then another thing is, that if you don't decide to go on a full blast program, you can just take help from the program occasionally. You could come to a workshop occasionally like that. And another thing is just putting this out, that even if people don't want to do the workshop or any of the follow-up, repeating the seminar in every year or a couple of years can again bring back so much connection and move you again so much. That's just another thing. In other words, ways to come and take the help without doing the whole program. Because taking the help, because another way to look at it is do you want to continue or not, rather than looking at it in such a black and white way, is maybe you want to do something. So you'll do part of the program. You'll do whatever it is that will fit into your existence as you want it to be. Because it is about free will. So you'll do how it fits into how you want your life to be and take the help as you need it and want it.
Garasana, since God loves us so much, why is it that He's either allowed us or made us to stay into this bad and painful place and for such a long time? And made this place basically such a trap, like you were talking about before.
Well, let's wait on the answer to that for a little bit and see how much time we have left. There's a number of things to be said about that. So, Whiteleg.
Thank you, Garasana, for being here. This is the greatest work that I have come by in my lifetime here. And I'm so thrilled or whatever it is to be here. And at the same time, I want something to stimulate our support system because something is happening to me. And it's like I want to go someplace to get something so that I can be stimulated to continue to stimulate and stimulate my brothers and sisters like that. So I'm just putting that out there. If there's any way you can see that it could happen here faster, that's where I'm at. Yeah.
One thing is while there can be more support than there is, that's for certain, is that someone does not therefore again come to a conclusion that there is something wrong with what's going on or make a judgment against it and not do the work because it's not what they want it to be. Even though more support would make it easier, still everyone needs to have the courage to go on as it is and not again come to a conclusion that there is something wrong. The support system itself is something that is being worked on, but what is a support system after all? The support system is all of you taking care of each other. And we can only move so fast in that area because you can only move so fast in that area. We can only get you to behave with love and compassion toward each other to the degree that you have the capacity to have that love and compassion toward each other. And conversely, when you treat each other poorly, we have no control over that. We can't help it when you are alone with somebody and you act in a manner which isn't coming from love at all. So you can't be dependent that every person you're going to be with is going to be completely loving and supporting. You're going to have to be realistic about it. You're dealing with a group of people who are all in different stages of their evolution, and some are going to be more supporting than others. And what you need to do to continue to work is to seek out those that are supporting, to seek out those that have the love and support that can help you to keep going. But the support system itself is dependent on individuals, and that is something that is being worked on constantly and intensely so that more and more help can be there. Because as we say, the work itself is difficult, but the support is something that can always be improved. Because as time goes on, more and more of you will come into a place where you can come from more true compassion and love, and you will be more support for each other. So others in the future will have it easier in some ways because they'll have more help. But there is enough help here now to do the work. There is enough. There is a number of people to support you. We have a number of full-time counselors who aren't even working full-time because there's not enough demand, so there is plenty of help still. So.
Hi, Grasna. I'm Jim. I have a longing for truth and love and healing, and that longing had me move down here to be closer to this work. And I feel I've been getting a lot of that, and I want to thank you for all the help that's been made available to help me. What I really want is that connection with the love and truth all the time, like when I experienced in the 8th day. And I've been getting more and more of that, it feels like. Now, there's an impression I get that in order to go all the way on this path, that I need to desire more than just that. Like, for example, breaking the cycle of birth and death. At this point right now, I don't know if that's what I want. It's not very real for me. You know, I can hear people talk about it, but I've never seen anyone do that. I mean, I see people getting more and more free. I see Lady Gail, I see Kalindi, and they seem to be more and more connected. But whether they're not going to come back or not, I don't know that. So I have doubt about that. Meanwhile, I just want to know if what I do long for, which again is the truth and the love, you know, is that sufficient to go all the way on this path?
Yes, it's sufficient to go on.
To the end, though?
Well, what you'll need to go to the end will come as you get closer and closer, as you start tapping into other things. It's neat. There's a need to put that out there about the cycle of birth and death, But I understand that most people aren't thinking in those terms. And it's not necessary to think in those terms to move along this path. And you don't need to worry about to the end, because all you need to worry about is what's happening right now and what you need to do right now to get basically what you're desiring right now, to get to come to those states. And, of course, ultimately breaking the cycle of birth and death is a test that's ultimately taken at the time of death. And so there is no way you can see that. That is in fact going to happen with anybody. That is a test that happens at the time of death. If you're really free or not will be determined at the time of death. So that's that. But it still has to be talked about as being the ultimate goal.
Thank you.
Grasana, could you speak about the guidance and masters, and is it necessary to have a master?
Yes, yeah, we touched upon that already. But yes. There really is no way you can make it on your own. You'll just be kidding yourself if you think you can. But of course, some people need to kid themselves. So we've talked about that some already. But you have to have the guidance. There is no way you can see through what you have to go through. There is no way. And you need, in order to take the true help of a master, you need to trust in the dynamics that takes place in that relationship. In other words, how it happens, how it manifests, how it goes on day after day, month after month, year after year. But without that guidance, there's no possibility of getting free. Because basically what you do when you're on your own is you just naturally go into the groove of doing what you feel like doing. And the whole idea that I have this guidance and I'm going to go within, and by going within, I'm going to find the truth of what I need to do, and my guidance all comes from within. If you go to people who are relying totally upon this and see what type of guidance they're getting, you see that they're not getting any radical type of guidance, which is asking them to do anything which is really going to break them free. For instance, if someone is stuck in being a vegetarian, and by that I mean they're just rigid about it, and it has become a binding factor in their life, that they're so rigidly vegetarian that they can't even consider eating meat, that it is against God's laws, against all laws, against nature's law, whatever, that they're rigidly bound by that. If you see these vegetarians, if you were to take a cross-section who are going within to ask for guidance, they'll never go within and get the message to go out and get a hamburger at McDonald's. They'll never get that message. That's just something that won't happen. Well, why won't it happen? Why won't they get that? If they come here, they may get that message. Because it can be seen what they need to do to break free from that stuckedness that's keeping them from going into a flow. But why don't they get that when they go within? Or does someone who's Christian-oriented ever go within and hear about a Hindu practice that they should take up? Or does a Hindu ever go within and hear that he should accept Christ? Or does a Jew go within and hear that he should accept Christ? No, basically people go within and they hear what they want to hear. So the whole thing of going within and hearing is a fog. As one man put it, it feels like me talking to myself. And because it is so much of the time, that's why you don't have any radical life changes happening from that type of help, from that type of instruction. I mean, the radical type of things that have taken place in the past, look at what Jesus did when he came. He came and the men he met up with, he said, leave your wife and your children. Now, if he were to do that today, you know, this the ultimate cult, you know, the ultimate cult leader, breaking up family values, breaking up families, controlling people's lives, the whole nine yards. Of course, he was the ultimate cult leader. But, you know, leave your wife and children at a time when there was no government welfare system, no state's welfare system. You know, leaving your wife and children had a whole other meaning in the place where he did that. But yet, that's what those people needed to do. So that was the instruction he gave. What a radical instruction, leave your wife and children. If he hadn't come and they would have all been following this principle of going within and asking for the truth within, do you think they ever would have gotten that one? Do you think they would have ever heard that? No, of course not. Never. No, they would have heard what they wanted to hear. They would have heard what would have basically perpetuated their illusion. This is about breaking out of the illusion. And to break out of the illusion, you are going to hear things that you would never think of and that you aren't going to want to necessarily do, or that it's going to be hard to do, not going to be easy. It's not something you're going to get on your own. So these people who are going out and thinking that they can do it, now even they've done this work for a little while and they've got the basic idea of what's going on here, and now they can go out and they'll just get free on their own, and they're just fooling themselves. They're just fooling themselves. And actually, they're not fooling themselves. The illusion is fooling them. The illusion is tricking them into believing that one, because as soon as they're on their own, then the illusion will cover them over. And just along the lines of the illusion enticing, the illusion also knows what you can take and at what point you're going to rebel against the illusion. So, for instance, it will allow you to have a certain amount of light because it knows you need a certain amount of light in order to go on. But not enough light to break free, but just enough light to keep you going. So you can come here, and people, this is another thing, people can come and get to a certain degree of light and love and think, well, now I'm doing pretty good. I've got a lot of light and love, and now I'm going to leave. And the illusion will use that as a carrot to draw you away from this. And then once you're alone, it will swoop in on you, the nature of this material world, and that light and love is going to be gone. Usually, because now it has you captured, you're completely separated, you're not going to come back, and now it can resume back to the normal standard of the material world, which unfortunately is without much love and is basically a state of suffering.
Garasana, will you speak about giving? Sometimes I give because I want to give and I feel that. And there are other times when I know I want to give, but it's triggering other feelings that are coming up when I'm giving. And the struggle is what to follow.
Well, I'm not clear. What do you mean by feelings that would bring up by giving?
Sometimes I'll give and something will be triggered, like resentment or other negative type feelings. And I know that if I give anyway, because I know that from my head, that sometimes I can break through that. But I'm not following the actual feeling I'm having. I'm following my mind. Or I don't know which to follow, and I have both of those things struggling inside of me.
Anyway, you always want to be giving, no matter what is going on in the mind. No matter what you're feeling, you want to be giving. You want to give. Withholding giving is withholding love. And when you withhold giving and love, then it can't come through you. In other words, you're not being filled yourself. So you become absent from the love yourself to the degree that you stop your giving. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter what happens in the mind, you need to continue to give. You need to continuously give. That's very important.
Clarification on two points that you've just discussed. Mm. One was the point that Tamar made regarding giving. Mm. And let's say that you're giving and there's resentment there. And so you continue giving regardless of the resentment that you're feeling. Because it doesn't feel like it's coming from the right place.
Mm. Yeah, so then we need to, right, then we need to classify areas of giving. I was speaking actually more of giving to each other in the way of love and support. Mm-hmm. An area of giving that you don't want to do with resentment would be giving to the mission. Mm-hmm. That's an area that you would want to stop giving. If someone is working for the mission, which is, there's a number of people that help volunteer work, and of course we have a full office staff which is growing. If you find yourself resenting it, if you, for whatever reason you're not being appreciated or whatever, and you are constantly resenting the giving that you're doing to the mission, if you're resenting that, then you shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Then you should just stop. Mm-hmm. Or of course, you find a place where you can come from not resentment. From no resentment, or clean up whatever it is that's going on. And maybe if it can't be cleaned up, maybe you just, whatever, it's too stressful in the office, or it's just too hard, or there you can see that there isn't going to be the appreciation that you need in order to keep going and something like that, then you need to stop. Then you just need to stop giving. That's an example where you need to stop giving. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In our home, in our house, one of the in our house, for example, this has come up where, you know, dishes are left in the sink and this type of thing, and so you go clean up, and there's sometimes you do it in absolute total joy, and other times there's resentment there, and so this is one of the things that's come up in our house, and so I think that's what Tamar was addressing. Mm-hmm. So in that case, if you're feeling the resentment, then you really, it's like you're feeling like you ought to, as opposed to coming from the love, then you should just walk away from it. Let's say you're doing the dishes and you're in resentment for it. You're in judgment because people, you know, are not picking up after themselves and they're, you know, that type of thing.
Well, they have a lot of dirty dishes, maybe.
Okay.
Could become a practical problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's, you know, as little as that sounds, it can be a big thing. You know, you're going in there and you're grinding inside.
Yeah, I know.
So the other thing that I have to ask you is regarding the other point that you made regarding following that inner knowingness, and that's something that I have really done in my life. You know, and it's a thing that got me here, and so. There's confusion there for me when you talk about this, because it was a pull that got me here. I mean, I left a place where I was perfectly, you know, relatively happy, and I just picked up and moved following this inner knowingness that I have.
Yes, that's a very good point. The thing is the inner knowingness can fool you. Has your inner knowingness ever been wrong?
It's getting clearer and clearer, however.
Yes, and that's one thing, that it's getting clearer. But who has listened within and gotten the wrong message? Should I marry this person? Yes, I should. Yeah. And it's like...
Yeah, I've had that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So that's so the thing is yes. So not to negate that or to put no more trust, because you need to develop it needs to continually develop the inner guidance and your strength of your inner guidance. That needs to continue. The emphasis that I'm making here is until you have come to a state of complete freedom, that inner guidance is going to be off. And you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to be basically talking to yourself in many cases, and you're going to be telling yourself the wrong thing to do in life. And especially when it comes to the path of freedom. as far as going on in the material world and what to do to be happy in life and everything, inner guidance is one thing. But when it comes to what you need to do to break free from this world, then that's where the inner guidance really gets off. That's where you really start missing key pieces of information that are going to get you free. Basically, if you were just to all go by yourself now and try to get free on your own, you would just be making one mistake after another. You just wouldn't be getting important pieces of information that you need to do to take the direction that you need. You just wouldn't be getting that information. So especially when it comes to breaking free, the inner guidance can't be relied on solely. That's why it is essential that you have guidance from the outside. If you don't have that guidance, you're just going to be making mistakes, and you're just not going to be getting as close as you possibly could. So you have to have the outer guidance as well.
I need some clarification on something as well. It's very important to me to do what I can do to break free in this lifetime. And the other evening at the Illusions Night, something came up for me that I've dealt with a lot in my life. And some of the communication that was given, even though it wasn't given to me, it hurt. It was painful to hear. And what I've done with that in my life before is I've shut down because it's too painful. And I know that all of us are sincere. At least I would hope that we are. And it isn't our intention to hurt another. But I question some of the people's statements and where it was coming from. And I also questioned the necessity, even though the instruction was given several times, to repeat the same thing to an individual, using different words as though they were being beat over the head with it. And I wondered why that was necessary, and if it is necessary. And what came up for me out of this, it got to the point where it was painful enough that anger started to come up in me, and then I noticed that I started to lose my passion, my intensity, and my desire, and I felt almost dead. And that also is something I'm trying to break free of.
So your anger caused everything else to disappear. That's what you're saying. When you got into that state of anger.
Perhaps.
Everything else disappeared. Again, so one thing is it's boiling down to something you don't want to feel. There's something there that you don't want to feel. I mean, whatever it is that's going on, you have to understand in life, you're shutting down all of the time because you don't want to feel things. Doesn't matter if they're right or they're wrong. You don't want to feel them. So let's say that in the circle, which certainly does happen, that some people are not coming from love when they're attacking someone else. And maybe they are coming purely from meanness. Let's say that happens. Well, this goes on in the world all the time. And when it happens in the world, you shut down because you don't want to feel. And that's what this is all about. There's all sorts of feelings that go on in your existence that you don't want to feel. And it's the culmination of all of them, which is why everyone is so shut down, because there's things going in this hell, in this world, where people are actually abusing each other on a regular basis. Everyone is so shut down just to deal with it. So to stay in an open state where you're feeling everything is very, very difficult.
And what I did that night is I asked for passion, desire, intensity, and I came yesterday, and something occurred. And I, as much as I know I have shut down in my life, I am grateful to feel, and at the same time, is that thing, it hurts. This hurts too badly. I don't want to feel this. So what do I do when that comes up? Because I know it's an old pattern.
Yes, well, that's a deciding point. It hurts too badly, and therefore you're not going to do it because it hurts too much, and you don't want to feel that anymore. And this is an area where people will leave at, and this is what's going on. What I was talking about, this group, they're saying the same thing, that there is pain coming up for them, and they don't want to feel it. They don't want to feel that it hurts too badly, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to. So they're going to stop rather than do it. They're going to stop. And how do you do it? Well, you can avoid it, or you can do it anyway. And the way to really do it is, as the way that you learned in the intensive, is to not only feel it, but to actually go into it.
So in the circumstance like the other night, I mean, this does happen in life all the time, and I've gotten hard to it, and I'm trying to take that hardness away.
Yeah.
When I feel the anger coming up, just ask for help?
Yes. The thing is one of the harder things that it's been for us to get out of people is their anger, and there are some people walking around with some pretty heavy anger going on. So while we can get people to cry, there's a lot of anger that people aren't getting up at all. And believe me, most of you are pretty pissed off about a lot of things. And you're sitting there thinking it's okay. So anyway, we're going to continue to work on that. So if something is making you angry, then be grateful for that, because anger is one of the harder emotions to get up. And you have a lot to be angry about. So when the anger comes, again, let it come fully and go into it. And yeah, feel it to its fullest extent. And hopefully the pain that you don't want to face. So there's two ways you can deal with it. You can go into it fully, which is the fastest way to get it over with, just to go into it and completely. But the other thing is also that you need to keep going. So in light of keeping going, if for instance, let's say in this particular case, if you really want to keep going and you can't stand the pain that's being brought up at this time, let's say you really feel you cannot deal with it at this time, then you are going to have to decide what you can do to keep going. And just as an example, it might be important for you to avoid Illusions Night. Maybe if Illusions Night is something for you that brings up a pain that you really feel you cannot deal with, then avoid Illusions Night in order to keep going. But do whatever you have to do to keep going is my point. You think of a way, use your intelligence to figure out how you are going to do it. And if something you really feel, no matter what we say, that you should go into it and all of that, if it's really just too much and you're not going to go into it, then figure out what you are going to do, how you can then maybe work around it. Because you can work in other areas, and it'll simultaneously work on the areas that you're not directly addressing.
Garasana, very often and more lately, there's a very strong vibration coming in and a very strong energy that's moving me. And I judge myself because I'm not necessarily feeling an emotion with that. And I was wondering if you could speak about the transformational energy a little bit and perhaps what it is doing when it's moving through us so violently.
Yeah, the transformational energy. Again, you know that it happens differently for different people. Some people have like a lot of violent action with the body, you might say, from it. Some people that may not happen. That doesn't mean that you don't have the energy moving through you just because you don't have that. But if you do have that, well, it's a transformational energy. It's an energy which is transforming your physical capacity to deal with all of the feelings and everything that are going to come to you. In other words, your very ability to feel is limited in your nervous system. You're so shut down, you're so repressed that your nervous system itself, your physical body itself, is limited in its ability to feel everything. And to be aware on this path, what's happening now, it's very important that the physical is also open. Of course, this is addressed in many traditional paths. So you have your yoga paths. The Buddhists also have heavy physical disciplines, different things to transform the body into states that can basically hold the awareness and the power that comes in your true self. So the transformational energy, anyway, is you need to trust it. You need to trust it. You need to trust that it's God. It can be a little scary, but most people can trust it. It's anyway.
My question was really, I'm more judging myself about not feeling, you know, feeling that more than emotions.
Yeah, no, it's fine just to feel the pure transformational energy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be accompanied by emotions, the transformational energy. It can just be a pure energy experience. Yeah, this.
My question has to do with physical illness in relationship to this path. Giving is really important to me, and the best way I found to do that is through staffing the seminar. Although when I do that, just the exhaustion, I get sick a lot, and I'm willing to go through that. Yet that leads me away from some of the meditations because, you know, it takes recuperation. And it's hard to say, you know, which is the illusion. Should you just keep plowing through and being sick? Yet there's a limited time if you want to break free. It's hard for me to know how to balance that out. I don't want to stop giving so much and have that be the illusion. It's a big deal, it's a cold, but or the flu or something, you know.
Anyway, that's just an area that you need to use your intelligence in. You just need to look at all the factors and decide what's the most important thing. What are all the issues? How important is your giving in the seminar? How critical is that? So the giving to the people becomes an issue, and in the area of giving, and then whatever the other factors are. How long it makes you sick for? Does it make you sick every time? Are you taking care of your body? On and on like that. What's the overall benefit? If you're constantly in a state of practically disease from one seminar to another, then maybe you need to do something in adjusting your hours in the seminar. So it's really just, you know, it's just an issue that you need to use your own intelligence in and look at all of the factors and maybe talk to someone about the conclusions you're coming to. But you need to take care of yourself. If you're getting sick all of the time, then there's something wrong. A lot of tiredness that goes on in the seminar comes from people's resistance. But still, the resistance is there, and it may continue on for a while, and you have to deal with that reality. But a lot of tiredness that goes on does come from resistance. And so there are areas of consciousness that can be worked on in this area also. But you are where you are, and you have to deal with your body as it is and the strength that it has and use your intelligence, again, on how to just keep going in a way that is something you're going to want to do year after year. If you find yourself in a situation where this is like something you're not going to want to do, and you're going to come to a point where you're going to fry out or give up, then you're not doing it properly. You want to be able to, you want to have the feeling this is going to take time, and you have to pace yourself and perform the work in a way that it is something you can do in your life for years.
Is there anything you can say about resistance, dealing with that resistance in the seminar to those of us who staff, and a lot of us are feeling tired and during the process?
Well, let go. Of course, how do you do that? What does that mean anyway? That's a tough one. Yeah, don't resist. One hand clapping.
If you're 100% in the light, do you need someone else to tell you that you're 100% in the light? Did you tell Gail that she was in there? Or do you know it? Is it 100%? Just say you did all this. You went.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Actually, it's not that clear. And it's not that clear when you're even close to the light, which is, again, why guidance is needed. I mean, many people on many spiritual paths at times in their spiritual movement came very close to freedom. But because there was no one around who could point it out that they were close, they themselves couldn't actually sense that they were close. And it didn't get to the conscious mind, I could say. So they just continued on, and in continuing on, they went away from that place. So they were very close, but then they moved further away from it again. So this is going on all the time in spiritual paths. So again, without the guidance, people don't know when they're close. And it isn't as clear as it's presented to be. Like the idea that Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and then all of a sudden it was like, got it. Mm. And it's not like that. It's not like that. Not on this path. It's not so clear. Let's put it this way. You'll come to a point where you will be practically free, and you will continue to need help and support to blossom fully into the freedom that you've attained. Mm. But there'll come a point where you'll have reached a point of attainment. But that doesn't mean that there won't be any doubt in your mind about it. But again, you'll just need support and further help to fully blossom into a place where you can stand on your own. Just like giving the example of a plant growing, when it first comes out of the ground, it's so tender and it's so delicate that even the mildest change in weather or somebody stepping on it or so many things, one insect can come along and the whole thing is destroyed. Mm-hmm. So using that analogy, it needs to be built up into a stronger, like, tree until it can withstand any attack and feel totally confident. And that takes a little time.
Okay, so but if there's enough of us that are free will that make it where there's enough like trees that are around that we'll just like automatically know how to do it, accelerate that fast. You know what I'm saying? It'll be without doubt, without any, it'll just be God. I mean. And I'm looking ahead, but.
Anyway,
okay.
One thing is you really don't want to be focusing on, although the goal here is to get free, you don't want to be waiting for that state to happen. Mm. You really want to be focused on what's happening now, and you don't want to be depending on something in the future for what you need now. That's called living in the future.
Okay.
And you don't want to do that. You want to just go with what is happening now. And we may not even point out anybody who is getting free in the future. it'll just be something that will happen automatically, and automatically they'll blossom and come into their own power as they become free, and we may not make any more official statements at all about that issue. So that may be how we deal with that.
Will you do it individually at least? My heart.
Well, I'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you, God. Thanks.
Rasna, there's some confusion in me regarding the longing and crying for God and, you know, and praying and demanding that he come in as my will versus his will. I feel like that sometimes when I pray and I demand so much that I'm taking it away from him.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say you should be demanding. You should be asking. But that is his will. So there you're in alignment with God's will. God wants to come in. He wants to fill you. And he wants you to be completely connected to him. So it is his will. But yeah, demanding isn't the way. You don't demand God to do anything. You ask. You pray. You ask. But you don't demand. So, yeah, demanding isn't good. Although sometimes. I may say everything different tomorrow. The truth is not in the words. It never has been, and it never will be. If it was in the words, we could just take all the words that have been written up until now. We could compile them. You could read all the books, and you'd get there. But you don't. So you've got philosophical majors with PhDs in colleges who have read all of the books and who studied just about everything that exists, and they are nowhere near connected to God. So it's just a way, really, what it all comes down to are the words are a guidance to get you to act in a certain way, to move in a certain way. And if they have that effect, then they're good. If they don't, then they can be changed until they do. So don't get too hung up in the words.
If God is everything, doesn't that include the illusions?
Yes.
Because my struggle seems to be to want to get rid of the illusions and the fear of that is that I lose God also. And then there's nothing.
No. Everything is God. There is nothing that is not God. That's the ultimate reality. But on this plane of duality, there are good things and there are bad things. So poison is God and good food is God. But if you take poison, you die. If you eat good food, you keep going. So it's a place of duality. So there's good and bad here. It's been broken down. And good and bad, there's good and evil. So then evil force has been created, and it is evil, and it is against you. The fact that it ultimately came from God, this is David's question earlier, which we didn't get into at that time, about, you know, why are we here? What's this all about? Why, you know, why the illusion? the hardest thing to understand about this place is that it was actually meant to be. That it was not just meant to be, but it was meant to be exactly like it is. There is no mistake going on. It's not that things are bad because there's a lack of consciousness, and once everyone's conscious, or once we clean up the environment, or once we have better medical treatment or whatever, then the place is going to be good. This place will never be good. It was never intended to be good. By its very nature, it's meant to be a place of duality, which means while there may be good going on, there's also going to be the worst things going on, always. It is a place of duality, and it was meant to be just exactly as it is. Now, the fact that God has something to do with the horror end of this picture is so unacceptable to the human mind that all of the religions of the world, basically, have created alternate philosophies to take, you might say, some of the heat off of God. So the Christians have the devil, that it's the devil that is these bad things. It is the devil that makes a man want to rape, or someone want to kill, or someone want to murder, or someone wants to abuse. It's the devil, and this is the devil's domain, and it is because of the devil that bad things happen. From God comes good things, and from the devil comes the bad things. And the devil, somehow or other, they have their little philosophy of how the devil broke off from God and got on his own trip and had his own power. And so he's doing the bad things. So, I mean, this is a very childish way of looking at things. But this is how the human mind can accept it. How it is a very hard thing to accept otherwise. The Hindus also have a belief. They also use the word illusion, maya, mahamaya, the great illusion. But their way of looking at it is that this is a place of punishment. That's how the Hindus look at it, is that you are being put here to be punished. That, I mean, this is a Hindu philosophy, that basically you were envious of God, you wanted to be God, so God put you in this place and to punish you, and basically you're going to be punished until you can't take it anymore and you're willing to surrender to him again and go back and give it up. And anyway, and in the meantime, you're going to be punished. So to Hindus, it's a place of punishment. To Christians, it's the devil's doing it. To understand that this place is supposed to be like it is, practically speaking, beyond human comprehension. It really is. There are so many ultimate realities that do not translate into this plane, which creates confusion sometimes in teachings that comes from incarnations or masters or great teachers, because sometimes you can speak from the ultimate plane, and sometimes you can speak, you might say, from this plane of existence, the material plane of existence. Like, for an example, there is actually an ultimate truth that there is no suffering at all, that nobody is actually suffering ever. Even in the worst pain and torture that goes on in this world, it actually is never suffering. That actually it's nothing but ecstasy. Now, this isn't something that's talked about too much, and this is a very impossible thing to reach. Maybe you can get glimpses of it, but it's a very, very hard thing to understand. This place was created to be like it is, just to be like it is. And there is actually a desire for the dramas that go on in this world to go on. And if you want to say it's because there was a desire for the experience of it, then there is truth to that. Not saying that it is any one way, but there is some truth to that. A very hard thing to understand. Anyway, this is a very hard thing to understand. Understanding this gives you some glimpse of the light of the reality that there is nothing but God, and God is in control of everything, and that there is nothing going on but God. Even the bad things that are going on. It's a hard thing. Anyway, we don't want to go on about this one because it's pretty much fruitless. But the just for instance, like the desire to watch a horror movie. Let's look at that for a second. People like to watch horror movies because they like to be scared. So they're watching a movie where a woman is alone in the house and there's a mad killer stalking her with a knife. And she's in total terror, and you're completely wrapped up in that terror. I mean, you're feeling that terror. Now, actually, you want to feel that, which is why you watch those movies. I don't know why you want to watch those movies, but anyway. You like, actually, there is a desire to watch them. So, of course, kids like that. They want to feel that fear. They want to feel that. And the better the movie, the more you're into it, the more that you're with that woman and you're feeling that, and, you know, behind every door, and is he there, and when is he going to come out and kill her, and everything that. If you can take that feeling, if you can take that desire for that feeling of the most horrible situation, basically you're going to be brutally murdered by some insane maniac, if you could take that and just go one step further and become that woman, and actually become that woman for real, because you ultimately really wanted to feel that and do, then you have some understanding why this place is going on. The same intensity, with the intensity and everything that she is feeling at that moment, not just her, but also the murderer. And the feelings that's going on in him. What are those feelings? What are those things? That also is going on. And such a desire. Anyway, this is the drama that you are caught up in. So the New Age people that are saying, well, we're going to create our own reality. But in creating our own reality, we're only going to create good things. What an illusion that is. We're only going to create the good things. That's all I want. I want the good stuff. Well, naturally. What do they think? But no, they're thinking they actually can do this. Well, I'm going to think positive, I'm going to be positive, and I'm only going to have positive things happen to me. Because that's what I want. Well, that's what you want in your mind as a human being, but who's making the decisions? You aren't. You can't create your own reality. The thing is your reality is being created on another level entirely. So these people that are thinking like this are missing the boat entirely. They are in total illusion, totally captured by the illusion. And this is a dream that they're having. This is just a total dream that they think that they have any control over their so-called reality. Because it may be their reality that they are going to be in a horrible automobile accident, and there is no amount of positive thinking that's going to change that fact. Because what they don't understand is the horrible things of this world are also desired. That's what they don't get at all. If they could get that, then they would understand why. Where are the New Age people that say, "I think I'm going to arrange a terrible disease for myself and suffer a painful, slow death"? No, I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be healthy. And then there's even the people who think they're going to live forever. What's that, Eternal Flame Society? That they think they actually have the group of people. We saw them on TV. They all have the imprinted smile on the face. And that is, they're going to live forever, that they're not going to die. Even though everybody has always died, they believe that they're not going to die. They really believe that. And that's their whole basis of their whole organization, is they're not going to die. You may have died because of basically what they're saying, just like the New Age people, it's just an extension of the New Age, is that you believed that you were going to die, and you've been told that you were going to die for so many lifetimes, that's why you're going to die, because you just believe it. But if you don't believe it, if you stop believing you're going to die, and you believe you're going to live forever, you're going to live forever. And you can. And they believe that they're going to live forever. And they call me crazy.
Gurasana, since I came to this work, I've found that that I have discovered in myself an overwhelming desire to get free in this life. And some of the feedback I've received just recently is that I have a lot of judgments. And I want to know what I can do, or get some guidance from you, what I can do to see those judgments and do something to see that they don't stop me.
Well, and the way that you remove, one of the ways you remove the judgments that you are holding on to is by finding more trust, by finding more faith, which you need to do in what's going on here. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to come to a complete state of trust and faith, at some point. So basically, most of you now are in like partial states. You have a lot of trust. Or anyway, depending, you have little trust, you have a lot of trust, you know. But you need to come to a complete state of trust in what's going on. And that comes through prayer. That comes through desire. And it comes through a letting go. And trust is a letting go. Trust means it doesn't matter that everyone else in the world is being cheated. I know that I'm not being cheated here. I know that it's just love. I know that it's just care. And I know that I can trust this. I know that I can. And anyway, to the degree that you can, and pray for that trust. Because the judgments do stop you. They do slow you down. You can just let go. And that's the letting go. It is something that is in your heart. You just let go of it. You just... All right, I know I've been burned in the past. I know I've had troubles. I know it's been difficult. I know whatever. I know that people cheat in this world. I know it's malicious sometimes in this world. But the way out of this world is actually through trust and faith. That's the way it always has been, and that's the way it always is going to be. It's going to be through trust and faith that you get free. So your trust and faith has to grow. It has to become greater, and prayer will help that. And how do you stop judgments? You can just let go of them. People who have formed judgments and think, this is wrong, this is bad, this isn't right, just let go. Things are basically fine. While there's organizational things and things which can always improve, it's the material world, which means there's always a question of better in the material world, basically. The organization and the structure as is existing right now is fine. Basically, it's fine. That doesn't mean there's not room for improvement, because there is. But basically, it's fine. And you can get free utilizing the structure that is in place right now. And you need to trust that. You need to find trust in that so that you can just let go and have complete trust. And, of course, on a more personal level, that means you... find some trust in me. Try to find trust in me. Try to find trust in Kalindi. Try to find trust in Gail. Try to find trust in others that are helping you. And see, that of course, not only is there no malicious intent going on at all, there is nothing but a desire to help you to get free, and everything is being done to create the best environment for you to get free, and everything is being done to see that you do get free, and trust that. Just trust that. And to do that, you need to let go.
Garasana, do you still feel pain?
Do I feel pain?
Yeah. I was shocked, and I'm still confused when Gail mentioned today that to be free doesn't mean to not feel pain. We still feel pain. And I guess my illusion was coming here and getting tools and work hard to become free, to don't feel the pain anymore. So it feels like, my God, if I feel pain for the rest of my life. So, do you still feel pain?
You don't have your own pain. You have no pain yourself. But where compassion comes from is feeling others' pain. So I can feel your pain. And I can feel that, and it hurts. But it is not my pain. But I feel that pain. And because I can feel that pain, that's why I care so deeply.
Thank you. After I finished the seminar, I went out in the world, and that's exactly what I felt. I could feel the pain and the people. And it's so very painful.
Yes. Yes. So you have to see this, you have to see what is real and what is going on here. You have to see it. Ultimately, you have to trust me. And you have to know that I have nothing but love for you. And that is not based upon what you do or do not do. If you do this work or do not, it is not relevant to me. My love for you is unconditional. But my primary purpose in being here is to help you to get free from this. That's my only purpose in coming. So you may not understand with your mind, but try to feel it with your heart. Try to understand it with your heart. I want to give you everything, and it is everything. I wish it could be made easier, but it can't. But all the love and support is here to help you go through it. So just as I love you, try to love each other and help each other and support each other. Give to each other. And whatever you do, you will all be free eventually. Know that. For those of you that may want to leave in the future, don't leave feeling a lack of love. Know that God is always with you and will be with you until the end of time. And no matter what path you do choose, ultimately everybody breaks free from this place. It's not permanent. And while it may seem to be a very long time, in eternity it's just an instant. So try to find some comfort in that. When the doubts come into your mind, remember there is nothing but love here. Really, there is nothing but love. There may be difficulties, there may be trouble sometimes. There may be trouble between you as a group, interpersonal relationships. But basically what is going on here is all just coming from love, a pure love, which has nothing but your best interest in heart. Nothing is going on here. Every design that is going on here is to help each and every one of you personally to get free. Each and every one of you in this lifetime to get free. All facility is being created and, of course, is being worked on to get better wherever possible. So, take the help and get free. All right, stop it.